Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy.
Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Bethel this morning, where we're connecting people to God. I'm excited about this month because we are celebrating 18 years of being in this building. I'm celebrating 28 years pastoring. It's incredible. I just can't comprehend it sometimes when I think about it. It's been that long. But our God has been through this whole thing with us, step by step. And I've been trying to relate that to you, how God has led me and my family, and how He has ordained everything that has taken place here at Bethel, everything that is still happening. We are on the verge of paying off our debt. I mean, we are so close. Praise God. Now, I want to tell you something. This week, Pastor Otis called me and said, Pastor, are we having those special services this month that we were supposed to have? I said, I forgot all about it, Otis. I didn't contact the person that I was supposed to. I got all caught up in, we're trying to plan a celebration once we pay off the debt. For all of us, we just want to appreciate everybody that's been a part of it, no matter how long you've been apart, whether you were here from the beginning or you've just come, or, you know, there's some people that came and they've moved on, but they were a part. And we're going to invite them to come and celebrate with us because they helped us get to where we are today. So we're excited about this month and what God is doing. But I don't know. I feel bad about forgetting about that because we wanted to have some special speaker this month. But you know what? God, of course God knew that I was going to forget it. My wife probably knew I was going to forget it. But you know what God did? He sent us an evangelist sitting in our midst here today. Don Timms, who is not going to be with us very long because he's here working. He works for an oil company, and he's temporarily in our midst, but he's been an evangelist for several years, and I've asked him to share a word with us next week. So God provides even when I'm stupid. Oh my. So, I'm excited to hear what God has for Don to share with us. Because I believe He has a word for us here now. Amen? All right. We're talking about remembering the deeds of the Lord. Psalm 77:11 and 12. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I'll just remember the things that you've done, God. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. That's why it's important that we read about the mighty deeds from the Word of God, teach our children about God's mighty deeds. But not only that, teach them about the mighty deeds and the things that He's done in our lives. Individually, God has done incredible things in your life. I don't care how long you've been a believer. You may just become a believer. That was an incredible deed, just becoming a believer in Christ. But you've got some incredible things in store for you. That's how great our God is. He's going to lead you. He's going to direct you. He's ordered your steps. So, I just been trying to recount some things. I do have a couple corrections that I always make this mistake. I told everyone that Tammy and I got saved in 79. Tammy said, she told me this before. She said, I don't know what happened to you, but I got saved in 78. So 78 is when we got saved. And also a correction is, I told everyone last week that Santa Cara, the property that we bought, had 15 acres. I was wrong. At least I didn't exaggerate. It actually had 35 acres. I knew that. I just had forgot the exact amount. So just trying to catch up here and try to make any corrections that I need to make here. So today we're going to talk about, the first thing we're going to talk about is everything has a season. This is kind of going to go along with what Todd was talking about. I'm thankful that I can hear the Spirit of God and line up with what God is speaking to other people. It's awesome to know that. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, there's two different words that are used here, Hebrew words and, of course, English words, two different words. The first one is zimon, which is translated, or the first one I want to look at, is translated season, and it means an appointed occasion. It could mean a season, as it is rendered. So, zimon is an appointed season, and I believe that's an appointed season by God. Time is ath, and it's a time, it means a time of an event. It is more the beginning and the ending of a season. So our Heavenly Father has established seasons for our life. And He's also established times, a beginning and an end to those seasons that we walk through. And I want you to recognize that a season, everything that you go through is for a season. God has established the time. God has established years. And in those years, there are seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Now, man has set dates for the beginning of those seasons. But the reality is that weather is not going to change on that specific date. Only God knows the end from the beginning. Only God knows the specific time that that's going to come. One season is going to end and another season is going to start. And I want to say to you this morning, whatever the season is that you're in right now, if it's a good season, bask in it, enjoy it, and know that there'll be another season come along. Only God knows the time when it ends, but it will come to an end. If it's a bad season, rejoice, because it's going to come to an end.
That's right.
Amen. It's going to, no matter what you're going through, it's going to end. It's going to end. And God will start a new season in your life. I thank God that He knows the end from the beginning. And He doesn't tell us. He gives us some hints. He tells us, He throughout our lives, He gives us some prophetic words and some directions, and we read the Word of God and things become clear. But He doesn't always give us the exact dates of how things are going to turn, the way things are going to turn out, and the exact dates of when they're going to happen. And I'm thankful for that. It's not a good thing sometimes for us to know everything that's going to happen. When Mordecai confronted Esther with the fact that the Jews were about to be annihilated by Haman, he told her this, Esther 4:14. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." An appointed time, eth, an end, a time that she was living in. God had appointed that time. The season that she was in was the season of her being the queen. The time was her opportunity to help her people. Look for the time in the season, the timing of God in the season that you are in. He has an appointed time. Be aware that things are happening for a specific reason, and the outcome is in God's hands. Just trust Him. But, like Esther, we have to do something. We have to trust God and do something. I believe we experience seasons and times in our life. And we have to make some decisions during those times. As free moral agents, we have a choice. We can be silent sometimes and not do anything. Or we can be like Esther. We can take advantage of the time and do what God tells us to do for such a time as this. I believe we're living in a time just almost like Esther was living in. Difficult times. Times when the enemy wants to divide and conquer and destroy. But always remember, no matter what it looks like, our God is in control. Our God is on the throne. Our God has a time appointed for us. A season that we're in will have a time. Pick up where I left off with a testimony. Around 1992, we closed the doors of Sinakara. We realized that season in our life was over. Just based on circumstances, we started praying, asking God, and we believed that season was over and the time to shut the doors had come. So we did just that. We closed down the ministry. We shut the door. God had prospered us in such a way that after we had liquidated all of our assets, we were able to return all the donations that the churches had given to us. So we gave them back, and then they used them for other ministries and outreaches, which I thought was wonderful. I was glad we were able to do that. And we were able to pay off our debt and at the same time give Good Works a great deal on the property for them to continue the ministry. A season, and at that point we recognized that a season in our life had just come to an end. The time was to shut things down. And a new season was beginning in our life. And I'm sure every one of you have gone through things like that where you recognize that that season is over. So at this time, Tammy and I purchased property. We did daycare. She did daycare, and I invested in some rental properties. We had two houses that we actually purchased side by side, rented one of those. I won't bore you with all the details, set up mobile homes and did some different things. But the season had just really changed for us. But at the same time, God started dealing with me about South Bethel and the fact that they needed a pastor. And I felt like God was dealing with me to offer to pastor the church. So in 1995, I did offer to pastor South Bethel New Testament Church. They accepted. And in August of 1995, I became the pastor. in another new season in our life, and the life of the church began. Seasons are incredible times in our life that we need to recognize that when we're in a season, we want to take advantage of that season, whatever it is. We need to see that there is a certain time in that season that God has ordained for us to take advantage of it and to recognize what He is doing. Even if it's a time that seems like a real difficult time, you're going to look back on it and say, wow, God was there. God was moving. Second point this morning is put your hand to the plow. In Luke 9, 59 through 62, then I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn there. Luke 9, chapter 59 through 62. If you have a Bible or your device, beginning with 59, Jesus is speaking, and He said to another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Barclay in his commentary said that no plowman ever plowed a straight furrow looking back over his shoulder. And I'm sure that that's very true, especially if you're plowing with animals. But I know that is also true even with you use modern farm equipment. If you keep looking back, you're going to get off track. The idea of plowing is to look ahead, find a point in front of you, and plow toward that thing. Keep your eye on it. Keep your eye on the object, on the prize in regards to the kingdom of God. Always keep your eye on the prize. Don't look back. When we're going through a season and a time in our life, we'll be confronted with decisions. Those decisions are not always easy. Sometimes they're really difficult. But it's imperative that you make this decision not to look back for any reason. Look forward. One of my mentors taught me that once I made a decision about anything, financial decision, whatever it is, whatever that decision that I made, move forward without second guessing yourself. Don't start that, well, maybe I shouldn't have done this. No, just move forward and make the best of the situation. You've made the decision, stick with it and move forward. That's the only way to really accomplish anything in life. If you keep second guessing yourself and going back and looking back, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Before deciding to move forward, always seek the Lord. Ask Him for direction. Hear what He's saying. And when the time is right, put your hand to the plow and never, ever look back. When we began pastoring, we had no idea what we were doing. I'd never pastored before. I didn't go through seminary. I wasn't taught a lot of pastoral things. I got a lot of books and started reading, started studying, trying to learn. I didn't even know how to conduct a funeral. Where do you start? Knew very little about doing a wedding. I ended up doing some studying and ended up writing vows that I felt were very biblical. And that's what I use to this day. Things were different back then because I had very little knowledge, but I was always willing to learn and grow in the Lord. So as we started in the church, we began to implement some changes. And you know, if you've ever, most of you have been around church for a long time, and as soon as you start making some changes, you start disturbing the old order, people get upset. And of course, we had some people who got upset for various reasons. I could go into those stories, but it's not worth it. Those things are behind us, and I don't really care any longer. I'll share a little bit, but for the most part, regardless of the fact that we had opposition, and here's something I want you to understand. If you are moving forward with the Lord, expect opposition. The enemy wants to stop what God is doing in your life. He'll come against you and he'll try to stop you. He will use people. And yes, he will use Christians. Doesn't mean they're destined to hell. It just means the enemy is using them for whatever purpose. God is always working on our behalf, no matter what is taking place behind the scenes. God is moving. So as we began to implement some changes, we had some opposition. People got upset. People got angry with me. But our growth was steady. By 2000, we were packing that little church out. And interesting story behind that was one of the guys came running into church one day. The church was just filled, overflowing people in that little vestibule. The church wouldn't hold, 75, 80, maybe 100 people. We probably had 130 people, 20, something like that at one time going there. We were really packing it out, and one of the guys ran in and said, "Pastor, the church is bulging." And, you know, I was caught up in the what was happening. I said, "Really?" I ran outside and looked. That's how silly I can be sometimes. But it was an exciting time. Parking was a big challenge for us. There wasn't enough parking at that little church. But we decided that we wanted to try to build on that property. We had a lot of people that had a lot of history there. And my wife's family had a long history at that church. So we decided that, you know, if it's God's will, that's what we'll do. So we had plans drawn up and began to make preparations to build there on that hill on Silver Ridge. But like I said, parking was a challenge. So in order to do that, we were going to have to purchase some property. And there was property on the left side was owned by an individual, and property on the right side of the building, or kind of behind the building, that was owned by an individual that actually attended that church from time to time. The one on the left said, "No way, we're not going to sell anything." The one that was attending the church led us to believe that they would sell us some property. And we started making plans. Now, another member in that church later on, as we were going through this, well, let me say this first of all. That individual was upset with the direction of the church. And for some reason, they felt that it was important to mislead us. But another individual in the church, an older couple, told me privately, they said, she has told us that she will never sell you that property. So at that point, we had to make some other plans, but I'll fill you in on that. The third thing I want to talk about this morning is desire the Lord's will. Psalms 145, 19, "He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them." That's a big God we have. Once you put your hands to the plow and you don't look back, always seek the Lord's will. Now, I can tell you this. I haven't always done that. Sometimes I get in front of the Lord. I get excited about a direction, and I start making plans, and every time I do that, I get in trouble. But as long as I stay with the Lord's plan, everything works out. But even when I get myself in trouble, when I cry out to the Lord, like David, if I cry out to the Lord, He hears my cry and He rescues me. Now I want to tell you, even before I found out that the property was not going to be available, I had told the Lord in prayer that I really didn't want to build on Silver Ridge. It was 2 miles out of gravel road in the middle of almost nowhere. I mean, we live in nowhere anyhow, but that was way back there. And I told the Lord, Lord, whatever your will is, I'll do it, but I really don't want to build back up here. I never told anybody that except my wife. I told her. About this time, people were starting to have some dreams and visions. Some saw fire from heaven come down through the pulpit in the seats and out the door. I believe that was one of our elders, Jim Osborne. Someone else saw water from heaven through the pulpit and out the door. Susie had a dream of rain washing mildew off the church. And about that same time is when we found out that the property wasn't going to be available. So on August the 3rd, 2000, the elders and the deacons decided to pursue the purchase of property so we could build on it. I told everyone my desire to build on Route 7. I'd like to have at least 5 acres. Everyone agreed that was a good plan. So we prayed, we asked God for favor, and we started to search. And we searched. And we kept on searching. You know, 5 acres long, Route 7's not easy to find. In April 2001, we were preparing for a spiritual renewal meeting. And we were having this season of prayer and fasting. We often did that for spiritual renewals. We now do this once a year in January, pray and fast. As a renewal approached, many of us were reading Tommy Tenney's book, God Chasers. Maybe you've read it. How many in here have read Tommy's book? Okay, God Chasers. It's incredible. So we decided that we're going to make a proclamation as they had done in the book and take stakes and stake them all over our area. And as we were preparing to do this, one Sunday morning before intercession, the Spirit of God began to speak to some of the prayer warriors. At that time, we had Sunday school, but we also had intercessory prayer before the service that morning. People would get up early and come in. And God began to move and stir those people. Let me share with you what I wrote. And thank God for Jeannie, who keeps track of so many things. But I'll just read to you what I wrote in 2002 while this was still fresh in my mind. The intercessors was Connie Osborne, Megan Swain, and Susie Francis. Connie woke up to prepare for intercessory prayer. She had a burden that the enemy was trying to stop the move of God, and as she arrived at the church for prayer, the burden continued. She shared this with Megan, who also felt the burden. When Susie arrived for prayer, they prayed for God's will and protection. When I arrived, they shared their concerns with me. As people began to enter the building for Sunday school, others began to sense the enemy's desire. Rhonda Tabor mentioned it to someone as she entered the building, not knowing that others had already discerned this. At this point, things began to happen very rapidly, and I'm not sure of the sequence of events. I believe Linda Well, the adult class teacher, started the lesson. Someone suggested that we pray and bind the enemy. My wife was in the back, Tammy, and she said that we needed she felt that we should hold hands and pray. We did that. After prayer, Mary Pellegrino got up from her seat, feeling moved by the Spirit to go outside. By the way, Mary is home with the Lord now. Feeling moved by the Spirit to go outside. Rhonda was also moved to go out. The Holy Spirit spoke to Mary that we needed to keep the doors open. I went up front to explain what was going on to the best of my ability. When I explained, I explained that Mary told us that the door need to be left open. Karen Davis said she asked God to explain why, and immediately the Spirit spoke to her and said, to remind the people of the visions. The visions was the vision of the fire coming through the pulpit, through the congregation out the door, and water coming through the pulpit, through the congregation and out the door. This is really significant in what was happening here. In the meantime, others shared what God was laying on their hearts. Something that no one else except myself and Jim Osborne was aware of was that one of the people who was disgruntled with us threatened to set up a PA system in their yard, which was close by, and tell the whole ridge what a nasty person I was and the leaders of the church. I guess God really does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? While Mary and Rhonda were in the parking lot praying loudly and shouting praises to God, Susie handed me the proclamation that was in the God Chasers, which just happened to be on the front seat of the church because Linda had brought it back that morning after borrowing it. just happened to bring it there. The proclamation was to be read during the service at part of our dedication of the stakes that were to be distributed. At that time, Mary Pellegrino came back into the building saying, we need to sing praise. She then went back outside. As we began to sing, the Spirit of God swept through the building. I was prompted to read the proclamation, which I did. Mary came back in and went to the altar and knelt down to pray. The Spirit of the Lord gave her a word for all present. He was pleased with our obedience, and the victory was ours. Hallelujah. Glory. The enemy tries to stop, but he is no match for our God. Hallelujah. Glory. I often think about, that threat and how God sent those women out in the parking lot, and the whole ridge, without a doubt, heard them shouting and praising God. What an awesome God we serve. Wow. So once we found out that we wasn't going to be able to build on Silver Ridge, we started looking for land. We asked God for his favor. I told everyone about my desire. Everybody agreed with that. So we had a congregational meeting, and first of all, we found this property, which was available. The gentleman that had this was developing a housing development back there. Things went south on him. It was a bad time with the economy. Things went south on him, and he wasn't able to finish the project, but he had this land, and he was willing to sell it to us, but it was at a premium price. At that time, we paid $36,000 for that in the old building there, which was a premium price for land in Meigs County at the time. Regardless of that fact, looking forward now, I'm sure the value of this property is way beyond what we paid for it. That's how good our God is. But we had, we got the price, we knew what we were having, we had a congregational meeting, and we voted to secure a loan to purchase the property. So we started a new season with this church with a new name, because we voted to have to change our name to Bethel Worship Center, and $36,000 debt, and a lot of excitement. Amen. And a bunch of faith. People had faith, not just, you know, wasn't my faith. It was the faith of the congregation. People believed that we were moving in the right direction. So after that, we set a date in October for a one-time offering to raise money to pay off that loan. When we had that date, when that date rolled around, we took the offering. When it was counted, we had raised $20,000. Now, even that was great, but prior to that, an individual in the congregation came forward and said, "Pastor, whatever you raise, we will match, dollar for dollar." So when it was all said and done, we had $40,000. We paid off that loan and had the money to start the land, preparing the land for this building. When I've sat down and go through this stuff and start thinking about it, because I don't reflect on it often, but when I do, you gotta forgive me, but man, I get pretty emotional. I sit in my house and cry, "Lord, you are so good. You have been with us all along. Sometimes we wondered when you were going to show up, but you always did." On October the 9th, 2001, with that matching grant, we paid off that loan and started a new season with the church. Fourth thing I'm going to share with you this morning is expect greater glory. Don't be satisfied with just the glory of God. Expect greater glory, because that's what He wants in your life. Haggai 2:9. "The glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts." That was the scripture He gave us when we were preparing to move from the hill and do other things that God had prepared for us. As the church continued to grow, we realized we had to do something. We couldn't just wait until we got a new building built. So we found out that the TP Elementary School was available and we could lease it for 1 year. We decided to do that. Now, in doing that, I want you to understand the faith of the people who were here at that time. When we did that, we burned our bridges behind us. There was a group of people that wanted to stay. They had ties to that building. They wanted to stay there. So we turned it over to them and we left. We had no place to go back to. We burned our bridges. We had a 1 year lease at the Tepper's Plains Elementary School. The first meetings at TP, I believe, was a spiritual renewal that we had there. And I want to tell you, the glory was greater in that place than it was in the other place. The power of God fell. And we had some incredible meetings. God began to move in people's lives. We saw incredible things happen. But we also knew that God had much more in store for us. So we continued to grow and build. And, you know, one of the things that we had to do at TP Elementary was every Sunday we had to set up and tear down. Not just chairs, but our music equipment and all that stuff had to be taken down. So we, during that period of time, I believe it was a time of building unity in the fellowship. So we'd sit down and tear up every Sunday, working together to accomplish that. We continued to prepare for our building, planned for a new facility, got property plans drawn up, and from time to time we'd have prayer vigils on this property. One evening we decided that we were going to have a prayer vigil, and we were going to bury Bibles and prayer requests and things that people expectations that people had, and we were going to bury them. We did our best to put them right where the entrance door is outside, so that when you walk in the door, you're walking across the Word of God and people's prayer requests. And as we went through this, I felt led by the Spirit of God to read that scripture out of Haggai. And the scripture, let's go back and look, let's take a look at that real quick, because the part of it that I want to share with you, Haggai chapter 2, begin with verse 1. Yeah, I got to find it. There it is. Haggai chapter 2. This is the scripture beginning with verse 1. I'm just going to read verse 1 because it's the one that is most significant. And then it goes on to talk about what God is going to do. no. I think I am going to read the whole thing. Beginning with verse 1, Haggai 2, in the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and strong all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." According to the word I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and sea and dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. As I think about this scripture, there's a couple things that I want to point out. First of all, we were here preparing this, kind of dedicating and preparing this place for the future. There was nothing here. Nothing except raw land in that building. Oh, and there was fruit trees down there in that field because this was a fruit farm. That's a story in itself. I'll let Susie tell that sometime. But as we were praying and seeking God, we realized that, you know, we had a facility, we had a place where God was moving, but God led us out of there. And we had expectations that God was going to pour out His glory in a greater way wherever we went, whatever we did. And He spoke to us in this scripture. And He told us this thing that is most important to me right now because of where we are, ready to pay off this debt. The silver is mine and gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. 18 years ago, I read this scripture standing out there. 18 years ago, we had $1,300,000 debt that we were facing. And yet God said this to us, the silver is mine and the gold is mine.
Yes, sir.
I've hung on to that scripture all these years. When I finished reading this, people were stirring around and they were kind of excited and I didn't know what was going on. Listen, this was kind of an impromptu thing that we decided that we were going to do, and that scripture just came to me. I thought, Lord, this is what we need. So I opened it and I read it. And when I finished, people were kind of stirring around, a little bit excited about something, and I asked, what's happening? They said, Pastor, do you realize that this is the 24th day of the seventh month that you are reading that? I hadn't focused on it. I was focusing on the silver and the gold. What a God. Man. And if you think I'm lying to you, to make up a story, I'm not making this stuff up. I want you to know this is real. And there's a few people in this congregation who were a part of that, saw all this unfold. So there's people that are available that can verify all these things that took place. Over the last 18 years, our God has proven that the silver and the gold are His. And He provides for all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Blessed are God's people. Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. There's the seasons again. Whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. That's a promise God gives to us if we trust in Him, if we seek Him, if we chase after Him. What does prosperity look like? It looks like different things in different people's lives. But God says, whatever we put our hands to will prosper. And I pray that everyone who has participated in this church in any way, in the past and right now, God will prosper them in whatever they do. Many have participated in this growth. And no matter how long it's been that you've been involved with this church, you're a significant part. Some have gone out doing other things now. They've been a significant part of what we've done. As we left that little church on the hill and went to Tepper's Plains, it was a huge step of faith for this congregation. Not only were we burning our bridges behind us, but now we had to pay $800 a month rent that we had never had to pay in the past. The only thing we had was a few utilities on the hill. Then, in August of 2002, we left there because we were no longer able to rent that place. God opened the door for us to move to Chester, to the old elementary school there. What a blessing that was, because in Tepper's Plains, we just had a small area to have our church and small place for classrooms. At the new elementary, the school in Chester, we had the whole thing. We could have classrooms and do whatever we wanted to do. We set up in the gym for our worship. Chris Deemer may not think it was such a blessing because it was a sound nightmare, but because bouncing off those walls, concrete walls, but it was quite a blessing to the congregation to be able to move there. And for about 2 years, we were able to have service in that building. But also another step of faith, because we had a $1,500 rent along with utilities, something that, you know, things that we had never had before. But as you can see, here's what I want to point out to you. When you trust God, God is aware of our frailness at times. And although we were doing our best to walk by faith, He was taking us in baby steps, moving us toward the ultimate goal of moving into this building. Because when we came to this building, not only did we have the utilities to pay for this size building, but we had a $7,000, maybe a little more than that, payment every month. That staggers my imagination sometimes when I think about that. Here in Meigs County, and now we're on the verge of paying it off. Now, that is not the only miracle. I want you to understand that at the same time, we have maintained the in-house ministries. We've been able to do the upkeep of this facility. We've been able to operate ministries at the Chester Center, our food pantry, the clothing pantry, various things that we do down there. We support our community in many different ways, financially and other ways. We've given thousands of dollars to missions both locally and worldwide, all while we were paying off this debt. Yes, hallelujah. That's a miracle. Yes. I want you to know how it truly is a miracle. And God is not finished with us yet. But this truly is a testimony of your faith in Almighty God that we serve. Stand with me. I'm going to wrap things up.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.